Mike, is it okay if I put my bank account details up on the screen there? No, on a serious note, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Mike, one of the first times I was here, and you prayed for me, not from the pulpit, but just down the floor, and you felt led to proclaim a financial blessing. And for a year or two, we've been going through a very challenging time, and the next year, everything turned around. So thank you for that. So. All right, I'm going to tell you a few stories, and that will lead into giving you the introduction or the theme of the message today. And some of you may know, besides teaching and preaching on prophecy and knowing the voice of the Lord, I do a lot of teaching on healing and miracles, training people how to pray for the sick. It's been a lifelong passion of mine. But I want to tell you a story about three or four interesting healings. And I say interesting because some healings and miracles are actually what the Bible calls signs and wonders. They're good in and of themselves, but they also point to something else. And all three or four of these stories I'm going to tell you, I believe, point to breakthroughs that are coming this year for many of you. Starting back, I think, in May or April of last year, I love how your church does these Monday night worship events, and I'm with you tomorrow night. You know, you couldn't keep me away from that. But in our church, every 6 weeks, we have a Worship Wednesday, and all we do is for 90 minutes, we worship the Lord. And if I'm there or a few other people, we might, if we're led by the Lord, lead into a ministry time or sharing a very brief word. But it's not a preaching service, it's a worship service. And in the one in May or April of last year, I gave a word, God gave me a word of knowledge that he wanted to heal people with severe ongoing hip problems. And a number of people came forward, but this is one of the interesting testimonies we found out a number of months later. A guy by the name of Glenn, who at this point in his life was in his early 60s, he had been a lifelong, just an athlete's athlete. And even in his late 40s, early 50s, he was still going out and playing tackle football. Personally, I think he needed his head examined. But when he was about 50 years old, he was playing a game of tackle football in a competitive league. And he said he experienced the hardest hit he's ever had. And his hip, his right hip, was severely damaged. And over the next 12 years, he had it worked on, operated on, countlessly treated by chiropractors, everything you can imagine. And it was just really messed up. He was not getting a good night's sleep for those 12 years, waking up in pain, difficulty walking, and it curtailed, obviously, his whole lifestyle. And when he heard the word about God healing hips, he did not want to come forward because he'd been prayed for so many times the last 12 years and not getting healed. And on top of that, he and his wife are part of one of the home groups in our church, and the home group had prayed for him many, many times. And he was just discouraged, but praise God for nagging wives, right? His wife said, get up there, get prayer. So reluctantly, he came forward, and he was instantly 100% healed. And in the testimony, in the video we shot about 2 months later, he said, you know, about 3 weeks later, I was just so excited about my mobility and strength now. He said, I did a project. I built a brick retaining wall or cement retaining wall in my backyard. He said, I was up on the ladder. I even fell off the ladder, and I was fine, you know. You know, Glenn, just slow down there a bit, you know. I was, the first 2 weeks of December this last year, I was ministering in Taiwan. And I think it was in, it's a city in the very south, most predominant city in the very south of Taiwan, the third largest city. One night, I don't know why this seems to be about hips, but I gave a word of knowledge about people with ongoing hip problems and back problems to come forward. And this is the testimony we had even that night, and she shared it the next night in the meeting. A woman who was in her late 40s, when she was in first grade, she had a terrible accident, and her hip was basically destroyed. and she had some operations, but she grew up, essentially the bones became misformed, and as she continued to grow, being in first grade, the bones grew wrong. And she had walked for over 40 years with a severe limp and a bit of a protrusion on her hip from the bones and everything being out of place. She got instantly 100% healed, just completely freed up. We had another one of our worship, Wednesday night worships, just last week on January, I think it was January 8th. And I felt impressed, and this ties into the message I'm going to share with you today about 2025, to encourage people. And I told the story about Glenn, what had happened earlier. I told that to our church. And I said, there's some of you that, you know, you believe God, you love God, but your faith is being severely challenged, and maybe there's some things you've even given up on. And I believe for a number of you, particularly with health issues, tonight's a night of breakthrough. And there's a guy in our church, name of Chris, well, there's probably many guys named Chris, we're a good-sized church. But this guy, Chris, he has been part of our worship teams for years. He loves worshiping God, passionate worship leader, and we use him for a lot of special events and things like that. 3 years ago, he developed a severe sickness that affected his vocal cords, and he has not been able to sing for 3 years. And although he doesn't work full-time as a worship leader or doesn't work full-time as an artist, he writes songs, he records songs, and he loves worshiping God. It's just such an integral key part of his life. And over the first year or two, he got prayer many, many times, but in the last year, he went into depression, you know, because this is such an important part of his life he could no longer function in. And when he heard that some of you with long-term things that maybe you've given up on, tonight's a night of breakthrough, a number of people began to come forward as I invited them, and he was reluctant to come forward, but he felt the Holy Spirit prompting him. And as he was prayed for in the meeting, he felt something get loosed in his vocal cords. He got back to his seat, and as we continued worshiping the Lord, he was able to sing for the first time in 3 years. And he was not able to sing perfectly, but he could sing. And then just this, a week ago today, at the second service on our Sunday, with his vocal cords partially restored, he started singing on the first song. And they got instantly 100% healed. And he came up and gave his testimony. And I show you these three stories specifically because I believe they're not just great in and of themselves, particularly for the people who were healed. And before I forget, where is the lady who came up? Come on up here real quick. Can you run up there? Do we have another mic we can use here? Is this one live or? You know, we prayed for people in the School of Ministry on Friday night with back problems. And what is your name? I forgot.
Laura.
Uh-huh. Laura, and how many years had you had?
20 years. Had been on a motorcycle ride, wasn't paying attention. I was looking off like this, and we hit a very deep pothole doing about 80. And I got a real bad owie. So I spent the first probably about 8 years going to chiropractors, Christian and non-Christian chiropractors, and I finally gave up. You see me up here dancing almost every Sunday, but it's always been with a little bit of pain.
But you've been in pain for like 20 years. And so what happened the other night?
So the other night it started to disappear, the pain, when I got prayer at KSOM. And Saturday morning I woke up and out of bed, no pain here in my hip. And then today, so yesterday and today, my first days of worshiping without any pain.
Thank you. Blessing to you. Thank you. Thanks. You know, and this leads into the theme of my message. About 8 weeks ago, I felt like the Lord spoke to me about 2025. And I felt like the Lord said 2025 is going to be characterized, particularly in the body of Christ, not only in church leadership circles, but also with Christians in the workforce, with businesses and in leadership, maybe governmental leadership, but areas of responsibility. It's going to be a year characterized by breakthroughs of creativity, fresh concepts, fresh directions given. It's going to be a year of incredible fresh opportunities. And many of those opportunities and breakthroughs are going to be in areas that some of you have been praying and dreaming and had vision for many, many years. And, you know, the problem is we live in this fast-paced internet age. Everything, we want everything instantly. And if the vision isn't fulfilled in 6 weeks or 6 months, well, you know, move on to something else. But part of the problem with vision, let me put it this way. I minored in psychology when I went to college, and I didn't get a whole lot out of it. But one thing one of my professors said that just got burned into my soul, and I've never forgotten, she said to the class one day, be very, very careful about what your goals are, because if you work hard enough and you've got a little bit of talent, you just may achieve those goals, but you just may find when you achieve those goals, it's not really what you need or what you want. And we see this all the time in society. We see it with artists. We see it sometimes with sports figures and whatnot. But when we achieve success, but our character isn't prepared, that very success, that thing we've been dreaming of, can be our very downfall, can't it? And I want to talk to you about going the distance with God. As I said, I do a lot of teaching and training on knowing the voice of God and even moving in prophecy. But there's always some mysteries involved with the prophetic. And part of it is we can authentically hear the voice of the Lord, or we can receive an authentic prophetic word from a leader or somebody else in the body of Christ. But quite often the mystery is the timing of it. And we think about Abraham and Sarah, you know, that went decades living with incredible promises over them. Most of those promises were fulfilled, that on the journey going to lands they'd never been to before, pioneering, God would protect them, God would watch over them, God would prosper them. And most of those promises were fulfilled. They were protected against fierce enemies. They grew incredibly rich. In fact, the name Abram, which was his name before he became Abraham, means exalted father. He was a man of prestige, a man of wealth. But the greatest promise of all, it got to the point where it seemed like a total impossibility, and that was that they were going to have their own children and their descendants would be more numerous than the stars could be counted. But when it comes to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the dreams, the visions, the things God puts in our heart, the things we agree upon with God, sometimes the most challenging thing has to do with going the distance with Him. I want to read to you from, Matthew chapter 13, and it's one of the parables Jesus told. And he told, it says in verse 3, Matthew 13, that he told the people many things in parables. And one of them was, he said, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds that fell upon the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then Jesus said, let he who has ears, let him hear. It's interesting, in the seven churches Jesus spoke to in the book of Revelation, to each of them, he said two things in common. He talked about overcoming, but he also said, let those of ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. The prophet Joel prophesied about what we call Christianity, new covenant living. The young men and women will prophesy. The older ones dream dreams. So if you start experiencing a lot of dreams, don't tell anybody. They'll just say you're old. But the young men and women will prophesy. The older ones dream dreams. The young men will see visions. We're a people that God wants to be led by the Spirit. But yet the dreams and visions, and sometimes God speaks parabolically, oftentimes it's like the appetizer. We don't know really what the main course is going to be, but it's to excite us. It's to whet our appetite. But oftentimes we fail to come into things because we get a glimpse of something, but we don't really unpack the mystery. And the disciples said to Jesus after this, Why do you speak in parables to the people? You have the answers for life. Why don't you speak clearly? And Jesus quoted what Isaiah the prophet said. And he said, the people see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear, because their hearts have grown dull. And so much of what God wants to do in preparing us for future breakthroughs is not only to give us the strength of character to withstand the pitfalls of success, as it were, but he also wants our hearts to be on a journey of drawing closer and closer to him, realizing what our true treasure in life is. And so they said to Jesus, well, tell us what this parable means. And Jesus began to explain it. But in verse 22, he talked about the seeds that fell in some good soil, but the thorns choked them out as they grew. And he said this in verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And I think from time to time, we need to allow God to search our hearts. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what is our measuring rod for success in life? Is it having that bigger house? Is it having that better car? Is it having that better motorcycle? Well, maybe the motorcycle, but that's just me. But, you know, Jesus said, the good man, including the good woman, they speak out of the treasure of their heart. Proverbs, watch over your heart with all diligence, life proceeds from it. And sometimes we need to really ask ourselves, what is it that really grips our heart? And sometimes we can be so consumed with not right now achieving our goals and dreams and what the culture says we have to have, that we allow the cares and the stresses of life, all the challenges, we allow that to choke out our love for God. I've been meditating the last few years on a verse in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, where Isaiah said, behold, God, Yahweh, is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. And then he said, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And these words, become my salvation, in the Hebrew, it is actually literally the very word Yeshua. God has become my salvation. It's a prophetic statement about the time to come when Jesus would leave the Father and give his life for us and become our very salvation. But in the love of the Father, in the love of Yahweh, he watches over us. We have hope and we don't need to be afraid. But the very presence of Christ within us has become our strength and our song. Hopefully. Is our strength and our song what we've achieved, our notoriety, our bank account, the prestige and all this thing? You know, God bless Mel Gibson, you know. He was actually doing a podcast when he got the news that his house had burnt down. And I think it was right after the podcast, they're trying to go on the phone and said, Mel, your house has just burnt down. And his response, well, typical Mel Gibson, you know, kind of flipping. He said, well, it's only stuff. Well, I think obviously that's an overstatement. You know, sometimes there's things, pictures of family members and whatnot, you know, that are dear to us. And, you know, you know what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, what is our treasure? For me, what David and what Jeremiah said, Lord, you are my portion in the land of the living. And sometimes as we're going the distance, unfortunately, like those thorns choking out those plants, we become choked out from our love of God and we back off. Because as I said, there's always a mystery when God calls us to pursue something, to have a goal, to have a dream, a vision of the timing in it. I mentioned Abraham and Sarah, that Abraham was now close to 100, Sarah was in her 90s. And really, we can surmise from the story in Matthew 18, when the Lord appeared in the form of three men to Abraham and Sarah, that to a degree, they had given up on that dream, the word the Lord had given them, that their descendants would be more numerous than the stars could be counted. But it says in Genesis 18 that Abraham was seated by the trees there, the oaks at Mamre. And as he was seated there, it says he lifted his eyes I love what it says in Psalm 3, the Lord is the lifter of our eyes. And sometimes we need the grace of God. We need the encouragement from one another. We need the encouragement like we just had this morning during the time of worship and prayer. We need the encouragement to take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our problem, off of our situation, and behold the goodness in God and his promises. Come on, there's a message there somewhere. Do you know what the number one disease in the world is? It's not COVID or lung problems or respiratory issues. It's narcissism. Unfortunately, even within the body of Christ, many people are not focused on the Holy Trinity of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're focused on the unholy Trinity of me, myself, and I. I said that for the church meeting down the road, not you. But oftentimes we need the grace of God to take our eyes off of our problems, off the stress, and behold, greater than our stress, greater than the conflict, greater than whatever pit we may have ended up in, the promises of God go way beyond all of that. So Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the form of the Lord passing by, and he got up and he ran after him. Say with me, he ran after him. There's a whole art to running after God, the pursuit of God. And he ran after the Lord and he said, please come back to my tents. You know, they were a Bedouin people and they had these large Bedouin tents with many rooms in it. He said, please come back to our camp. We want to minister to you. And the Lord turned around, came back with them, and he yelled at Sarah, quick, make some fresh bread. And they went and got a choice animal, sacrificed it. You know, it's going to be like heaven. We're going to have great barbecues there. You know, that's just my take on things. If you're a vegetarian, there's still time to repent. So. I'm just messing with you a little bit. But they prepared a really extravagant meal for the Lord. This was not a fast food McDonald's church service, you know. It kills me. A number of years ago, I caught by accident some blog of a pastor I'd heard about in Pennsylvania. And he was in the news quite a bit because his church had grown in just a few years from about 200 to about 3,000. And everybody's looking at his model of church leadership and their structure and all of that. And he had an article about the importance of worship. I said, oh, this is really good because I teach and preach a lot about worship. I really need to read this. And as I'm reading through this article, he's talking about the importance of worship in about the third paragraph. And he said, you know, those 7 or 8 minutes of focusing on God and worship are so important. I said, I'm not even awake the first 7 or 8 minutes of worship. It's not till the 5th, 6th, 7th song that God gets me on his wavelength. What are you talking about? And I didn't finish the article after that. But see, when we minister to the Lord, as it says in Hebrews 13:15, offering up the sacrifice of praise, it's in a sense, it's never a sacrifice to pray to God or worship God. But in another sense, it means we're taking our eyes off of ourselves. It means we're no longer fixated on our dream. We're no longer fixated on our problems. We're focused on the dreams of God. We're focused on the visions of the Holy Spirit. And more importantly, we're focused on a vision of the presence of God. And that's where our life is. That's where encouragement, that's where the strength comes from. You know, so often we feel so overwhelmed with problems, you know, from time to time. But in Psalm 46, it says, be still, cease striving, and know that I am God. As David said, I was in this pit of miry clay that I couldn't climb out of, but I waited upon the Lord. And he lifted me up. He put a new song in me, lifted me up. And he said, many people see and turn to the Lord. Well, how do you see a song? You don't see a song, you hear a song. But what you do see is a life that's transformed by the love of God and the presence of God. And that's what David was talking about. So they brought the Lord back and they ministered to him. And at that meeting of ministering the presence of God, the Lord said, by the way, at this time next year, the child of promise will have been born to you. And that word was fulfilled. And less than a year later, Isaac, which means he is laughter, was born. And it's so interesting as well as prophetic because you can go through challenge after challenge, delay after delay, you know, even to the point where you may almost give up on the promise of God. But, you know, God's timing, whether we like it or not, is always perfect. And his timing in 2025 for many of you is going to be incredible. And as the psalmist said, weeping may be there in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And God is going to turn many of you, your weeping, your struggles, into joy. And so God speaks through visions, dreams, and prophecies. And there's something always enigmatic about them, but they're appetizers to whet our appetite to press into the Lord. I want to talk for a few minutes about, actually, this is something the Lord really spoke to me during worship yesterday or Saturday morning, Friday night. I can't remember at this school of ministry, but it was not only for the people there, but for you as a church. I want to speak to you a little bit, not a lot, but about Gideon in the book of Judges. That Gideon was just kind of a young man minding his business, and at that time in Israel's history, they weren't quite slaves to the Midianites, but they were completely overrun. They were heavily oppressed by the Midianites, and sometimes we can feel oppressed by the culture around us. We can feel oppressed by our problems, but the Lord began to speak to Gideon. I'm not going to look at all the scriptures, but he began to raise him up, and at one point, it says the Holy Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. The Holy Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul said we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. One of the essential reasons why we have absolutely no physical description of what Jesus looked like is because Jesus, being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he was absolutely God, but he was absolutely man as well. In fact, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Isaiah said he had no stately form, no majestical appearance to gaze upon. He was like every one of us. And, you know, people, when they look at us, they don't say, hey, I see Jesus. But when they hear us giving words of encouragement, when they receive acts of love from us, when they receive anointed blessings, they're seeing Jesus. The Holy Spirit is dressing himself up with your face, your posture, your person, which is, I don't know, maybe a little bit scary to think about. I was out tinkering in my garage a week or two ago, and our driveway, it's not a long driveway, but there's a short, little bit steep hill that then it levels out. And the Amazon truck pulled up. And you know, those guys are always going 800 miles an hour. They're always really in a hurry. So I was out there, I walked down, I greeted the guy so he wouldn't have to get out of his truck, and got the package from him. And, you know, it was a week ago, and, you know, we just got through the holidays. So I said to him, how were your holidays? And he said, they were terrible. And I said, really, why? And he said, I spent 2 weeks in the hospital. I came down with the Spanish flu. And he said, in fact, today's the first day out of the hospital. I'm broke, and I had to get back to work. And he said, I'm still not feeling good. And I looked to him and I said, well, I don't want to seem too strange, but I'm a Christian and I'm actually work as a pastor. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And he said, I'd love that. And so I stretched a hand to him. He's still up in the truck. I'm standing down on the street on the driveway there. And I just prayed a simple, maybe 30-second, 60-second prayer. Lord, would you release your healing power? Yeah. Would you release your comfort, your encouragement? And I can't authentically say to you the man was healed. I don't know that. But when I finished praying, the guy was in tears. And, you know, usually the Amazon guys and delivery guys, like I said, they're going so fast. They just don't even want to say boo to. Just take the package and they throw the package at you, throw it over the fence or whatever. But he got down and he wanted to shake my hand, you know. And, you know, he was actually, whether he knew it or not, he was seeing Jesus when he looked at me, which is kind of scary to think about. But anyway, but the Holy Spirit clothed himself, so to speak, his outward appearance, you know. It was God raising up this young man to do some things he'd never done before. And the very first thing the Lord led Gideon to do was to tear down the altar to some demons in his home village. And sometimes we want to start out ministering the world, but sometimes God wants to start out what's going on in our own little camp, right in our situation. And one thing led to another. I'm not covering this whole story, obviously. I just want to hit one or two points. That it says, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together. Their enemies came when God began to raise Gideon up. They crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abizrites were called out to follow him. And it says that the Midianites and the Amalekites, chapter 7, verse 12, and all the people of the east, they lay upon the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. And normally, in Old Testament military terms, when you're reading about an army this big, believe it or not, sometimes you're talking about an army of 70, 80, 100,000 even. And Gideon ended up with an army going against this huge, huge army of only 32,000. But the Lord said to Gideon, "You've got too many men. I want the glory to go to me for what I'm about to do." And he's kind of looking around, "Who are you talking to? I've only got 32,000. And the Lord said, "Tell everybody, all the soldiers who are afraid, to turn around and go home." And he's thinking, well, maybe 50 or 100, 22,000 left. Now he's got 10,000 going against 80, 90, 100,000. And the Lord said to Gideon again, "There's still too many. I don't want the glory to go to you guys. I want the glory to go to me." And the Lord said, "Take the 10,000, take them down to the river and have them drink." So they all go down to the river and they're drinking. And the Lord said, "All the ones who put their faces to the water, have them go home. But the ones who kneel down and are kind of looking up and they put the water in their mouths and their hands put in their mouth, those are the ones I want." 9,700 of the 10,000 put their faces to the water, and the Lord said, "They're out of here." Years ago, I was praying about this because usually in the Bible, water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the river of life, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and thirsty, streams of living water will flow." So I'm thinking, well, Lord, they were all drinking of the water. What's the issue here? And in a vision, the Lord actually allowed me to see what the 9,700 were seeing when they put their faces to the water. I was seeing through their eyes, and the Lord said, "Well, what do you see?" And I said, "Well, I see the water." He said, "No kidding, look a little bit more." And I looked a little bit more, and I saw their own reflection. These 9,700, yes, they were partaking of the water, but all they really saw was their own reflection, their own needs. But the 300, they were aware of the battle at hand, but their eyes were lifted up. And so when it says in Psalm 3 that the Lord is the lifter of your head, it's talking about, the theme throughout the whole Bible. Like Jesus did not regard his equality with the Father to be grasped, but he came to lay down his life. Or as Paul also said in Philippians 2, the same chapter, he said, "Do not merely look out for your own interests, but be aware of the needs of others around you." And the first call of the discipleship is to pick up your cross. And that, yes, we're to be diligent and apply ourselves to the tasks, the goals, the visions, the responsibility God gives us. But life is bigger than us. The arena God calls us is bigger than ourselves. It says in Proverbs, "There is one who scatters but increases all the more." And sometimes we get trapped into the mentality, "I only have enough energy for what I need right now. I'm desperate. I've got to fight for this." But sometimes the greatest key is to take your eyes off of yourself, off of your needs, and say, "Lord, I'm here for you. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to give myself to the people that you've given yourself to." And so those 300, God gave them a strategy that didn't make a lot of sense. They spread themselves out, probably just, 100 yards apart, from one another, and they made a big circle at night around the camp of the enemy, these tens of thousands, maybe 100,000, and they had lights within these pitchers. And at a certain point, as they yelled out, "A sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon," they broke the pitchers, and all of a sudden the light was visible. God wants to break our hearts so his glory can shine out of us. He wants us to call us back to not, I'm saying this for the church down the road, not for you, but he wants to free us up from consumer Christianity to consumed Christians. Christians consumed with his consuming fire. And I tell you, there is nothing more attractive than someone who is radically in love with Jesus. My wife and I, in the 42 years we've been married now, to each other, by the way, need to qualify those things these days, but we've been in restaurants 3 times where we've seen young men propose to a woman for marriage. And I'll never forget the first time is when we lived in Toronto. We were in kind of a European bistro type of restaurant, which means all the tables are too close together and someone's invading your territory now. But it was just, we were at this table and just short walking distance away to his table next to us, there's a young couple. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye, the young guy get down and kneel on the floor. And he opens this box, and I started praying immediately because I thought, you know, Lord, he's doing this public. If she says no, he's never going to have the nerve again to ask anybody, you know. But she said yes, and, you know, it was just kind of a great, great scene. Another time when my wife lived in Dayton, we went to this Italian restaurant. We used to eat out quite a bit, and they had an outdoor seating area. The weather was good, and so we're seated there, and there's not too many people out there. And at a table nearby, a couple comes out. The guy gets out of his little backpack and notebook computer, turns it on. And, you know, that's more or less common today. But then he starts playing this sappy love song on there. And I'm thinking, oh, this is obnoxious. I'm going to give this guy the right hand of fellowship here in a moment. But what we didn't realize he was doing, he had collected from his future in-laws a collage of pictures of her as a young girl, and then pictures of them during the dating. And he was playing her very favorite romantic song. And at the end, he got down, knelt down, and there was a ring box with a ring in it, and she said yes. He had timed it, so the waiter came out right as he proposed with a bucket of ice and champagne in it. I'm thinking, well, what are they gonna do if she says no? And the third time was actually back in Toronto. There was a restaurant in downtown Toronto that was open till 1 o'clock every night, very popular late night crowd. And because our meetings for years went on 6 nights a week and we'd be ministering until 10, 11 at night with all the crowds coming, we'd sometimes when we had guests, we'd go down there late at night. And my wife and I with some friends were down there maybe 11 o'clock or so. And packed out restaurant, it's a very fun restaurant. And across the room, there was a table with a long-haired guy and this young girl. And all of a sudden, she jumps up and she starts jumping up and down. And she screams out, "I'm so happy!" And everything in the restaurant dies. Nobody's talking. Everybody's looking at her. And all of a sudden, she realizes, they don't know why I'm happy. And then she goes out, "He proposed, we're going to get married!" You know, and the long-haired guy's got his face in his hands on the table, you know. But the whole restaurant burst out in applause. Because as the saying goes, the whole world loves a lover. But there's something inherently attractive about someone who's given their life to Christ Jesus, who's in love with him. Someone who's freed up of the restraints of narcissism. It's all about me, myself, and I, and as the heart of Christ and manifest the heart of Christ and being a giver, not just a taker. But the point in telling you this about Gideon, part of the story, is sometimes in the long journeys you and I go through before vision is fulfilled, sometimes we feel like we're stripped down of all of our strength, all of our assets, all of our abilities. And like Abraham and Sarah, after decades of the promise they were going to have so many descendants, Abraham's now close to 100 and Sarah's in her 90s, thinking this is an impossibility. Sometimes so that God gets the glory in your life, he will strip you down, again, just as he did with Gideon, to a place where it seems absolutely impossible. But sometimes in those situations, we've got to rise above our limitations. We've got to rise above our hurts and disappointments. And we've got to do this thing that I like to call putting our hunger for God on display. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, just for a moment. Luke chapter 19, in verse 1, speaking of Jesus, it says he entered Jericho and was passing through, walking the main boulevard there of the city. And it says in verse 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. Now, I need to stop there and say something about Zacchaeus. Later on in the brief story here, we'll read that Zacchaeus was short. Now, some people are short physically, but some of us are short emotionally. Some of us are short intellectually. Some of us are short in a myriad of ways. We all have areas where we end up feeling like, you know, we're just not measuring up some way. Zacchaeus actually had three strikes against him. Number one, he was a tax collector. The Hebrew people despised the tax collectors because the tax collectors actually worked as informants to the Roman government, the oppressors of Israel, because if you got a local, someone of the Jewish community, to tell the government how much money everybody had, you know, you couldn't hide money under the table because so much business was done under the table. He was an informant to the oppressors. They hated him. But on top of that, he was a chief tax collector, which meant he got a cut off all the other tax collectors in his area, and he had grown wealthy off the oppression of his own people. But the third strike, as I said, he was short. You know, it's one thing to be short physically, that's not a problem, but many of us are short in a myriad of areas. And, you know, sometimes we just feel like we're coming up short in life. But Jesus was passing through, and everybody's lining the boulevard, the avenue there. They all want a glimpse of Jesus, the miracle worker, the healer, the prophet, maybe the Messiah. But Zacchaeus, being short, he can't see over the shoulders of people. And on top of that, people are kind of probably pushing him away. Get out of here, Zacchaeus, because they despised him. They hated him. But it says in verse 4, he ran on ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Sometimes we've got to rise above our own situations and call out for God in a special way. We've got to put our hunger on display. And you know what? It says in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, Zacchaeus is up in the tree, he looked up. Let me tell you, wherever there's a heart that's hungry for Jesus, Jesus sees that person. This is why we have both in the Old Testament and New Testament one of the greatest promises that's concurrent throughout the Bible. If we will draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. But so often that involves taking our eyes off our own situation. Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Let me tell you, the lesson Abraham and Sarah learn, if you can get Jesus in the house, that takes care of everything else. That's one of the reasons why I love this church, Mike. You guys put such a high value of honoring the presence of God here in the house. I absolutely love your Monday night meetings, you know, and as well as your heart for the poor and all the ministry you do. By the way, the ministry you as a church do to the homeless, you have no idea of the favor that gives you in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs, those that give to the poor is like lending to God. And he always pays his debts. And you're going to have the favor of the Lord come upon you as a church in 2025 and in just some very unique ways you haven't experienced before. But Jesus said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And just like Abraham and Sarah, He dined with the presence of the Lord. He ministered to the presence of the Lord. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. But let me tell you, God is not a respecter of people. Wherever there's anybody that's hungry for him, he will respond to that. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. You can read it later on. But Zacchaeus came into revival and restoration in his own soul and began to give to people he had deceived, stolen from, and all sorts of things. I want to tell you, I've just begun to tell this. I haven't talked about a lot, but a little bit of a testimony of my own journey with my physical issues over the last 25 years. It started really about 24, 25 years ago. At that time, I was doing a lot of ministry in Africa, and you know, a lot of places we were going, no air conditioning, very hot, very intense. And I just, for the first time in my life, I really couldn't handle high heat. I'd grown up in Southern California, used to go running in high heat. It never should be. But all of a sudden, I felt like my blood was boiling within me. And I really didn't understand what was going on. I began to have a real increase of skin problems. And then 19 years ago, after doing some blood work on me, they found that I have a semi-rare blood disease called polycythemia vera. Polycythemia vera is the opposite of leukemia. Leukemia, you don't have enough red and white blood cells. My body produced way too many platelets, way too many red blood cells, white blood cells, and it was only because I've been a runner all of my life. When they found I had polycythemia vera, my hemoglobin levels, an average male, the highest level was normally 14. Mine was 22. And my doctor said, it's probably only because you've been a runner all of your life and your heart is enlarged and strengthened that you can handle. You haven't died up to this point. Well, I began to start doing two things. They put me on a very specialized, very strong medication. And I also began to do CBCs, complete blood checks, once a month. And typically, they'd have to take a pint of blood. On an average year, I would give 11 pints of blood throughout that year, sometimes 12 liters of blood, I should say. And that continued for a number of years. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, things began to get much, much worse. And what we didn't know, the doctors really didn't realize until just last spring, was for some patients who take the medicine I'm on, that medication can actually cause skin cancer. And starting about 7 or 8 years ago, I began to have this radical increase of skin cancer. And I mean, you look at my face today, and I know I'm handsome and debonair and good looking, but you know, you look at a face that, you know, it's pretty normal, but every time I've been in their past, and actually everywhere I've been the last 8 years, I've had just numerous spots, some cancers, some precancers on my face, and as well as my legs and things like that. And in spring of last year, I was speaking at a conference, several conferences, five conferences in Italy. And we were doing a pastor's conference in Rome. And it was really a great 2 or 3 days of this conference. And one of the highlights was a woman who was there that was completely blind in one eye. She got completely healed, and nobody prayed for her. Just the presence of God was so thick in that meeting. Her eye was just completely restored by the presence of God. But there was such, as I said, such a strong presence of the Lord. I felt the Lord said to me, Mark, rise up in your faith. Now, over the last 25 years, my wife and I would pray continually for a healing or a miracle. And anytime I was in a certain meeting, because oftentimes I'm doing conferences focused on healing or miracles, I'd get one of the other speakers and or whatnot, or maybe leadership team to pray for me. I wouldn't do it all the time, but maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times a year. But over the last 7 or 8 years, things had begun to get desperate. And I remember, but specifically in 2017, I developed some open wounds on my lower right leg. And those open wounds, I had them for 10 months, and 6 months were absolutely brutal. in that I had incredible pain 24 hours a day on my right leg, and I developed severe insomnia. The pain was so bad at night I couldn't sleep. You know, during the day you can you're distracted, you focus on things, but at night typically I couldn't fall asleep until sometimes 4 or 5 in the morning from sheer exhaustion. But it's interesting, at the height of that insomnia, you know, when I was home, where we live at, it's kind of a quiet neighborhood, an older neighborhood. The Lord began to challenge me in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep because of the pain to worship him. And I said, Lord, you got to be kidding. And the Lord said, Mark, you've gone all over the world and talked about offering up the sacrifice of praise. Why don't you offer up the sacrifice of praise to me in the midst of your pain? So one of the things I could do, and I was very, very careful, the doctors were giving me painkillers, but I didn't take very many. I didn't want to get addicted to that. But when the pain was so bad, and I'd get up in the middle of the night and walk in our neighborhood because getting the blood flowing would help alleviate the pain a little bit, but I started singing repeatedly to the Lord, particularly out of Psalm 103 that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, including with this wound. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, that he forgives us of all of our iniquities, but he heals us of all of our afflictions. I was praising God for that issue by faith, even though I was in pain, because sometimes when I get dressed at like 4 a.m, start walking, I'd start out walking like this. The pain was so bad. But it goes on to say, the Lord redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness. He renews you like the eagle. And for those 5 or 6 verses, I used to just sing that to the Lord in the middle of the night. But finally, we got through that year. That wound got healed, but it was just so difficult. And then after that, some of the skin problems began to get worse. And then starting in October of 2023, I really entered into a downward spiral. I was still traveling, ministering all over the globe, but it was just such a stressful time. It was difficult to stay focused. And in October of 2023, the doctors found a major skin cancer spot right here, and they had to open up my head. And I went like 2 or 3 months, you know, with stitches and stuff up. When I was preaching, I'd wear a baseball cap. I didn't want people calling me Zipperhead, you know, all of that. And so finally got the stitches out on that, say, okay, pass that one. And then in January of that year, I had what some doctors call a mini stroke. Other doctors say there's no such thing as a mini stroke. And immediately, we were sitting there with two of my daughters at home. They're both married, but they were home having dinner with us for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, as I was saying grace over dinner, I started slurring my words. And one of my daughters said, Dad, that could be a sign of stroke. And they hustled me right down to the hospital. And sure enough, I had a stroke. I was in the hospital for a day and a half. And they did all the tests because, well, what's the stroke coming from? Is it coming from, you know, stuff in your heart? What's going on? And after months, they figured out, no, it's not from any of that, but it's from my thickened blood. And so my oncologist got aware of that. And then a month later, I had to have another major skin operation. I had 4 inches of stitches right here, this big old thing removed. And then about a month after that, had another similar size spot. And in the midst of that, my oldest daughter is pregnant with our first grandchild. My father's father, he died 2 days before I was born. He died the morning they were actually getting in the car and drive to the hospital and see me. My father died just a month or two before our first child was born, our daughter born. And my wife and I later on, as we started having kids, talked about this, said, we've got to break this curse. I want to live to see my grandchildren, you know. Amen. But in around about March or April, I was still doing ministry, but after 25 years of these health issues and having these 3 operations and having the stroke, I just felt so overwhelmed by just everything. And I still had faith in God and still believing, and there were still things in envisioned God to give me for doing ministry, different cities, different nations. But at one point I said to my wife, I said, you know, I don't know. I looked at what happened to my grandfather, my dad. Am I going to live to see, you know, our grandchildren? But in May, at that conference in Italy, when the presence of God there was so strong, I felt the Lord provoke me with faith. And so I got up off the stage where I was ministering, and I went and stood with everybody else and just lifted my hand and said, God, I need a breakthrough. Yes. Now, it would have been great if at that point in time, a miracle, physical miracle, creative miracle, and everything had been eradicated. But God took that moment, and he began to start orchestrating things. And within a week of getting home, I had an appointment with my oncologist. He said, Mark, we're going to change your medication. And there was some brand new medication that was on the scene that does not cause skin cancer. And the other problem with the old medicine, it interfered severely with my immune system. My immune system was barely functioning. And she said, it's very expensive. We're going to apply for a scholarship. And by the grace of God, I was awarded this scholarship. The medicine costs like $140,000 a year. But they started me in June, and we got some prayer about this from a lot of friends, transitioning slowly over 3 months off the old medicine onto the new. And I stand before you, I can tell you, for the last 2 months, for the first time in 25 years, all of my blood numbers are completely normal, 100%. The skin cancer spots I've had for forever, but especially the last 7 or 8 years, they're gone. The spots on my legs are 90% gone. My energy levels are up. And the other good thing about this new medication is not only does it not cause skin cancer, and not only does it not attack your immune system, but they say a lot of people, it's relatively new, that have been on it. After 2 years, they can completely go off it because the medicine heals you of the disease. The disease is eradicated. Now, it would have been great if the Lord had reached down and done a miracle, but however God works, he works in mysterious ways. And, you know, I will freely admit I was at such a low point in April, but yet we still kept seeking God, trusting him, worshiping him. And, you know, the bottom line promise is, as it says in Hebrews, God not only exists, but he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Well, Abraham and Sarah, they dine with God. Zacchaeus dine with the Lord. Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. And I believe even in the midst of all the problems in life, even in the midst, so to speak, of your enemies and the spiritual realm, maybe otherwise, the Lord wants to set a banqueting table for you this year. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of innovation. And I believe that just as God gave Gideon kind of a crazy strategy, God's going to give some of you strategies in the business world and leadership areas of responsibility that you've never considered before. It's a time of breakthrough. But I want to tell you this, that some of you that have been praying long term over some very serious issues in your life, some of you, maybe it's not an issue, but it's a dream, a vision, a hope that God has had you working towards, orchestrating your life, we're coming into a time of breakthrough. Let's all stand. Are you still alive? I ask that everywhere I go. I'm always hoping someone to raise their hand and say, I'm dead. Would you raise me up? Turn to the person next to you and say, get excited. Pastor Mike, I'd like to ask if you and Brent, any of the leaders that are here, would come to the front right now. I felt from the Lord to pray a blessing of a fresh blessing of creativity and innovation upon you. So any of the pastors and leaders, anybody you want here to be with you, Mike? Yeah.
Come on, guys, gals, wherever you are, John, come on.
Thank you, Father.
Amanda,
I'm beginning to wonder about your authority, Mike. You know. Now I'm in trouble. He's coming up here.
They're so overwhelmed by your message. So any of you that lead something in our church, especially some of you that are on my staff and
thank you, Lord.
Pastoral staff, I highly recommend you come up here. And also with regards to, I mean, I don't see how you couldn't. Good grief. This is an amazing testimony.
Oh, yes.
You know, we've told this many, many times before. Testimony, what do they do? What is it about testimony?
They're so prophetic.
They can be duplicated.
That's right.
That's okay. So
that's why this message is so important. Yeah.
Thank
right?
you, Lord.
And so this message is supposed to be duplicated. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to happen again. He's. Thank you. So, and this
is not just for leaders, for anybody. That's why we've taught this for many, many years. And sometimes when you get down and you had a few down moments, I would imagine.
What's that?
You had a few down moments through the years, right?
A few.
Yeah, just a few. The thing is, sometimes if it's long enough and deep enough with regard to the problem you have, you just sort of get numb. And then you stop thinking about miracles anymore. And but more importantly than that, you stop thinking, you stop hearing God's voice, which actually is so simple sometimes, you know. And his miracle came through a variety of situations and over a period of time. But finally, sort of like a little flower, it finally bloomed and it was time. And so this is an important moment for us. You know why it's an important moment for us? Because I believe. That's why it's an important moment for us. Some of you have been on journeys that are very difficult physically or otherwise, other journeys. And that's why the scripture says, ask, seek, and knock, and it'll be given to you. But the verb tense there is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, right? And so many of you have been asking, seeking, and knocking for situations in your life. But this is in the realm of the physical now. There could be other things too, but physical, right? Physical issues. And so I'm telling you, Mark, but you got me, man. I'm you know what? And here's another thing. There is a, we believe in healing, and a lot of churches like ours, but the problem is we think more like magic kingdom than the kingdom of God. We're always thinking about a little fairy that has a little wand that kind of blows over, and then we're done, right? But almost all, many, many difficulties in our life are journeys that we take, right? And so he's on a journey. It's been a long journey, right? And so it's like a flower that wouldn't open up, but finally at the end, it, you know, some flowers just do it like that, you know, at the end. So many of you are on journeys, and that's why you've been keeping on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. This testimony is very, very powerful to me. Because I like the best. What I like is that there's medication involved. Now, I would rather not be medication involved, but however it comes, that doesn't make it any less a miracle. That's, you know, right. You were stuck for years, just absolutely stuck, right? And now the thing, in the fullness of time, it began to develop and grow. You began to see this, you began to go through it, and then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, actually, absolutely.
Pastor, we need to pray.
Okay. Absolutely. Opposite of it. So I'm just trying to get you guys to believe. All right? No matter how long it's been.
Sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness and permission. So. Okay. Father, let's just stretch our hands to all these men and women with that have oversight of responsibility in the church. But also I want to say, after this, we're going to pray for many of you. You may have your own business. You may be a supervisor, could be in government, could be maybe you're an artist, maybe you're a head of a corporation. But this is a season of breakthrough, of concepts, creativity, fresh initiatives being given to you from the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for either your heart for worship, for hosting your presence, for ministering to you, touching your heart, Lord God. But I also thank you for their heart for one another, for healing, for deliverance, for freedom. But I also especially want to thank you for their heart for the poor, for the homeless, Lord God. That, Lord, you love this church. Your hand has been upon them in a special way. I ask in Jesus' name, 2025 would be characterized by fresh innovation, fresh concepts, fresh creativity, and even a greater anointing coming upon them than they've ever known before. I bless the dreams and visions and goals that are as of yet only partially fulfilled or even unfulfilled. And I ask for your favor in the name of Jesus to come upon them now. And I ask that you would open up doors that cannot be shut. And you would shut some doors to the past that need to be shut, Lord God. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus upon the areas of responsibility and oversight, would you bring an increase? Lord, your word says, to those who have, more shall be given, and they shall have an abundance. I ask now in the name of Jesus for anointing unto abundance upon them, anointing for leadership, creativity, but also anointing the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I pray for an increase of healings, miracles, signs and wonders. I pray for a freedom upon the church for evangelism, Lord God. I pray for a freedom for fresh kingdom endeavors, outreaches, Lord God. Fresh things in community, building community within the church, Lord God. Let your grace be upon them. And Father, particularly all of us here, but particularly for those standing up front, any of them fighting long-term health issues, just as you brought an amazing breakthrough for me, Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus, let your miracle power, let your grace flow like a river in the name of Jesus.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.